Briefly, we want to express a little bit of last Sunday's message to tie it in with today. And we had a title for last Sunday that said, Things Highly Treasured of God. And I wrote down here like this because I feel this way. I said, in my own feeble way, I feel so inadequate sometimes. I tried to portray the thoughts and the feelings of God for all creation, for man whom he created in his likeness, for giving the breath of life and an eternal soul to every soul, every person on the face of the earth. God has done that. I tried to portray how valuable God judges the eternal soul. And I used some of the words that were texted to me, precious and priceless, highly treasured. I just want to refresh our mind a little bit this morning. He treasures every soul, yet he highly treasures a people who chooses to serve him, who loves and obeys his word and seeks after him with their whole heart. And to those he calls his own. He calls them a special people, a holy people, a peculiar people, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and he calls us the sons of God. A people highly favored and highly treasured. And I'm going to use the words again, special and priceless. So that's just a little review. But the title for our thoughts today is Treasure Seekers. Treasure Seekers. So the things that are highly treasured. By all. I think we all sometimes have things that we highly treasure. We may not put it into words like that, but we may say, well, I've been very blessed. We may call it that. And sometimes it may be just something that we have desired and it becomes a treasure to us. We can treasure each other. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to treasure our families. And it's a wonderful thing to feel that specialness to one another. But there are some things that are highly treasured and things that may be of great worth. But they may be only trinkets. They may not really mean anything to anyone else but you. Maybe one little... Have you ever received a little flower from a child? I remember many years ago, I believe it was Lindsay Wall, when she was a little girl. And she comes bringing me this little flower out of the yard. I don't know why that was a treasure. And I took it and I put it under a glass on my dressing table. I had a small table where I would sit and comb my hair, and I had a glass cover over the top. and I had that flower for years. It had no monetary value at all, but it sort of was a treasure. And so there are things in life that you and I may treasure that really isn't of any monetary value, but it becomes meaningful some way, precious. It's maybe just sentimental. And that's all, that flower totally disintegrated after a while. I think when we moved, I just had to throw it away. It was just dried and brittle. But you know, those kind of little treasures that really don't mean anything to anyone else, it speaks to us. It helps us some way. And then there are people that are of the earth, and they have great treasures, what we might call great treasures. They may have million-dollar houses, fancy cars, big bank accounts, and it's well known that they are wealthy. They might be called the upper crust. Have you ever heard that term, you know? I don't think any of us here today are of that category. But we know people that place a high priority in what they would consider. They may not go around and call it treasures, but in their heart, it's a treasure. And they set their hearts on it. And they don't understand, they don't think about the fact that everything that you and I see can be taken from us in an instant. Yeah. It can be burned up, and it will be burned up. All that we have accumulated in this life will not survive the last great day. And yet we may set our hearts on it in such a way that we choose it over the eternal things. So those are earthly treasures. And I may even know of some, maybe not personally, but those people are really not rich in the right things. They're poor and they don't even know it. They are needy and they don't even know it. They haven't had a vision of the true wealth. And yet there are those that are poor in earthly things, in material things, we might say, and yet they are rich. Yes. And they have treasures, unspeakable treasures. They understand it is not in this life. They have an understanding that it's going to be experienced in the next life. I read this statement on my phone, and it says, "Not all treasure is silver and gold. Not all treasures are going to be in this life." And it made me think of the scripture in Matthew 6 and 33. I wrote it down here. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Now, if we just left out that little middle part, I think it would be like leaving off the icing on the cake. I believe the cake is the kingdom of God. But to seek righteousness would be like putting icing on the cake. You have to seek for both. You have to seek for understanding of what the kingdom of God is all about, how you attain it, what God has for His chosen people. But then you have to seek after His righteousness. Lord, give me Your righteousness. You and I do not have righteousness. The scripture tells us it is like filthy rags. I want to stop here just a minute. Carl, can you hear me? Do you need the sound? Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I'm sorry to interrupt like that. But the reason, not just the only reason, but there is a benefit when you and I seek the kingdom of God and we seek His righteousness, there is a great benefit. And it can be our treasure even in this life. And it says, all of these things shall be added. Now, I personally feel that I'm looking at a people today that is blessed. I feel like that we are not so poor that we're out begging. And the scripture even says that. He says in His word that His seed would not be begging bread. I want you to keep that in your mind sometimes when you come up and you see the panhandlers. God does not need us to stand on the corners and beg bread. He has a full supply. He said that He would supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. We serve a rich God. He is wealthy above what you and I can comprehend. And He will give to us as we need it. If we're seeking for after the kingdom of God, it's an interest to me. I want to know more about it. I want to be closer to God. Desire it with all of your heart. Seek for His righteousness. Pray for His righteousness. I pray for His righteousness about every time I pray. Lord, give me the mind of Christ. That's a treasure to be filled with the mind of Christ. Give me the righteousness of Yourself. Give me the power of the Holy Spirit. There's your treasure in this life. And no man can take it from you. Thank the Lord. You know, you and I and all people, we are influenced by all that is around us. Our world is so completely different from what it was when I was a child. When my grandparents were young, my parents were young. Those generations, if they came back now, they would be, I'm going to say, aghast at what our whole world is like now. And I'm going to use it in this way. The large department stores, it's not sin. I'm just wanting to make a point. You go into these stores and you have 10 different models of one thing that you could choose from, and it's to whet your appetite for desire of them. And maybe you look at those things and you begin to calculate and you begin to say, well, which is the most valuable for my money? And you'll compare this one with this one. It's not, we're not down to one toaster or one mixer. We've got a whole row of them. I went, my iron quit on me during Monarch. And so I I knew I needed to get a new iron. Had that iron. I've had many irons in 50 years. They don't last for me some way. But so I go to Bed and Bath, and they have all of these irons to choose from. And I know what I like in an iron. I like a whole bunch of holes on the bottom that gives out lots of steam. So that's the first thing I look for. And as I begin to compare all of these, then I find the one I want. But when I was growing up, you might have two choices. I'm trying to make a point here that we are influenced by material things. And we all have more material things in our homes than our grandparents did. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying we don't want to be tied up with them. We don't want to set our heart on those things. We want to hold them in perspective. Does that make sense? Because we're not going to stay here forever. And yet some of these things we need, but we are influenced by the material things of this world. And we look on some of those things and we say, these are treasures. We may not verbalize it, but we may feel that way. These are so good. Oh, I look at this sometimes. It's just little things that somebody, like I said on the flower, just a little gift. I'm downsizing right now, so I'm talking about myself. But I had boxes. I had tubs of treasures under my beds. All three of my beds had these boxes under there, and I started pulling them out and saying, do I really need this? I have not used this in 8 years. Do I really need this? And I looked at this. I looked at that, and some of them were just little gifts that were given to me. And yes, even today, I could look and say, I remember who gave that to me. And they were special. But it's going to burn up. I don't want to be too uncaring. But I want us to have a little vision of what true treasures are. And I know every one of us here today have those treasures backed up under our bed or up in our closet or in this china cabinet or that china. I've got them in mine. A little bird that somebody gave me, and it just became a treasure. What I see is a danger in all of these things that are offered to us. I think it can color our desires. It can affect even our ambition spiritually if we let it. We can be affected by just the choices that we make, and it clutter our life. Do you feel cluttered sometimes? You know, we're in an age right now where people are calling it decluttering. Living more simple. How did we get that way? It's because we had all of these things just sort of, they became treasures. So, I have to mention this. Some of us probably have bought more stuff from garage sales. Nothing wrong with garage sales. Estate sales. Nothing wrong with estate sales. But do you ever think about the person that left all of those things behind when you go to an estate sale? I do. I sort of get a picture of who they were and how they thought and how they felt about the things in their life. And many of them were collectors. They would have collections of certain kind of glasses that you can't even, they could never use them all at the same time. So many glasses, sets of glasses. It literally, the people that they hire to take care of the estate sales, they work for weeks just getting it ready. And they have to have the sale for at least 3 days to dispose of it. And then they still have things left over that they just give away to some charity at the end. But I always think about the person that left them behind. And that person, how much did they carry with them when they left? And Lauren read this in an ad for an estate sale the other day. This person was a collector of toasters. Had 100 toasters in their house. You know, we need to be balanced. And we need to know what is our true treasures in life. And get our focus off of these things that do nothing more than clutter our lives. And they also distract us. So, well, I've never heard of somebody collecting toasters. And 100 of them. When you can only use one side of one at one time, maybe. But anyway, it made me think of 1 Timothy 6 and 7. You brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. So you and I came into this world with nothing, and we are going to leave with nothing. But we have something. Now, you were given a body, and you know, your body is unique to you. When you stop and think of the millions of people on the face of the earth and no two fingerprints are alike, I don't know how that can be, but that is what they say. That your DNA is specific to you. And there's much more that we know about DNA than ever before. God created every individual to be an individual. You have your face. Have you ever been out, maybe traveling? This summer, it happened to me. We were at a gas station, and this person came up to me and said, "You look just like my mother." And pulled out a picture, and there was a resemblance. So we may look like some people, but we're really only who God made us. You're unique. And you have a certain voice. Now, in a family, you can have the same voice. Sometimes a child will answer, and it'll sound like the mother. Things like that. But you know what? God made you and created you, and He wants us to treasure what He has created. Yeah. He wants us to accept who we are and what we are. He doesn't want us to desire to be like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so because they are so much smarter or they are so much better or they can do this. No, let's look at who God gave to us ourselves. And say, "Lord, thank you." I need to say that. But He gave us something that was eternal. We've been speaking of eternal things so much of late. This one that wrote this little encouraging thing that I started out with, she also said, "I wonder if God is not trying to prepare us for something." I think we need to be focused on what we have that we're carrying out of this world, and you're only going to carry your soul. That is all. Because, and we have a scripture, and I feel like it's vital that we establish these things. But there's one in Job 34 and 14 and 15, and it says, if he set his heart upon man, if he gathered unto himself his spirit and his breath, speaking of God, he's the one that gave you your spirit and your breath, and he has a right to take it back when he chooses, because the scripture says that life and death is in his hands. You're not going to die until he says for you to die, and you're only going to live when he says for you to live. But if he claims your breath and your spirit, you know what it says? All flesh shall perish, and men shall turn again unto dust. So I'm given this body, and I'm to work with this body, and I'm to live in this body. It is to house my soul during this lifetime, and yet I'm going to be judged for the deeds that are done in this body. That's part of my eternal part. It's going to go back to God. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, it says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, there it is, it shall return unto God who gave it. So you have a spirit, and you have your body, and that's about all that you have. You and I will not even carry the clothes that's on our back when we die. It will be so finely separated. And he said in one place that he divides the bone and the marrow. He said that's very close. And the soul and the spirit, he divides it. And he knows how to divide it. So then, let's talk a little bit more about treasures. Familiar scripture, Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start at 19, or read 19, 20, 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. And then he says, Jesus said this, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We can have such treasures. I'm going to tell something on Lorne and me. It's not really, I don't feel this way now. You buy something supposedly new, although this might not have been new. It might have been new. We bought a laptop from the man that has done our computer work for a long time. And we basically allowed him to pick it out because we didn't know that much about computers and laptops. And so he bought this one that we had never heard the name of it. And we didn't know. That's a very valuable laptop. It's one that would be in demand. Well, when we first heard about it, we thought we needed to hide it in our house. In case a thief broke in, he would for sure take our laptop because it's supposed to be this high-dollar laptop, which we didn't give high dollar for it. But, you know, we can get a mindset like that. Oh, we've got to protect our treasures. I want to tell you, they're all going to be disposed of. And the scripture here is saying, don't lay up your treasures on this earth. Just look at them and say, so what if the thief breaks in and steals it? I'll just probably have to get another one. Don't hold on to these things. And Jesus said here, verse 20, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where you won't have to worry about the moth or the rust that will corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. I read this statement. I don't know if I really wrote it down, but I hope I can sort of... I did write it down. I read this somewhere. It says, no thief, however skilled, can rob one of knowledge. Did you know your knowledge of God is the part of your great treasures? And with the knowledge that you gain concerning the kingdom of heaven, concerning how to live for the Lord, concerning eternity, concerning the doctrines, all of that knowledge, no thief can take it from you if you're hiding it in your heart. And the scripture says for us to hide his words in our heart for a reason. Well, I have another scripture in Colossians 3, parts of 1 and 2. Very familiar. It says, seek those things which are above and not the things... Oh, wait, I got to back up and read the rest. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. That's got to be the place I'm sending my treasures to. And then it says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. You know there's a balance to all of this. Don't you know that? I don't mean to be noticing so much, but I can see the young people really looking and thinking, and they're probably trying to say, where is the balance of all of this? The balance is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of these things take care of themselves. He'll allow you to have what you need to have. And you'll enjoy it because you'll know that God allowed you to have it. You'll be able to thank him for it. You'll be able to give him the glory. Thank the Lord. So no thief, however skilled, can rob one of, I'm going to say understanding even, knowledge, understanding, to have knowledge, to have convictions of these things. Isn't that a great treasure above everything? Isn't it a great treasure to know God, to know his word, to have it enlightened to us? It's a great treasure. He says in his word, for you and me to walk in the light while we have the light, lest darkness come upon us. And then it says, and how great is that darkness? Well, it's a great treasure that he shines light on us. And we should treasure the light. So we have to seek those things. Set our affections. And I put down here with our whole heart. That's how we will have a true treasure up in heaven. So treasure seekers, they will find true treasure. Seek for the treasure, you'll find treasure. And I got to thinking about treasure seekers. There are people who professionally seek after the treasures, hidden treasures, lost treasures, sunken ships that they know are great treasures on those ships. Now, you wouldn't find me seeking that kind of treasure. I'm too scared of water. But there are people that will risk their lives to find this sunken treasure on ships. And they value what they might get even over their own life. They'll risk their life. And this little statement, I read this somewhere about treasure seekers of that kind. And this can happen in a lot of other things too, but it says it gets in their blood. It gets in their blood. What does that mean? I'll tell you what, you can have a, seek after the, it'll be a treasure to you, but the, reputation, oh, I hesitate. If you really want a name in this world and say you want to be well known in the sports arena and you seek after that, it'll get in your blood until that's all you will be seeking after. But you know what? You and I need to let it get in our blood to seek after the true treasures and riches of eternal things. We need it in our blood. We need it to, we need to seek after it with the same fervor that they would for a sunken treasure or for a title in this world. And if we do, it says we'll find it. It says if you seek, you will find. Thank the Lord. If you don't get anything else this morning, I hope you'll remember that phrase. I need to get it in my blood.
Yes.
I believe it'll help us make heaven.
Yes.
Well, Jesus gave us some parables, and I'm going to just read parts of them. But I think it's important that we understand what we're seeking for. But he gave us these parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. And what I find in those things, in every one, and the two that we're going to be giving, they had hidden treasures. He understood what hidden treasures were. And it says that, I wrote down that it's always being discovered. I do not find that my walk with the Lord is getting boring. Not at all. There is always something that he's opening up that's a treasure. But I had to seek for the treasure to begin with for myself. But the treasure is always unfolding and in enriching and enlightening and becoming new. There is a scripture, and I didn't write it down, but it speaks about a householder, and he was bringing out treasures, new and old, all the time. You will have a treasure in just remembering something God has done for you. But you will have another treasure when he keeps doing it.
Yes.
Continues to bless us. So one of the treasures is Matthew, the 13th chapter. And it's verses 45 and 46. And it's the pearl of great price. And doesn't that sound like a treasure? Let's read those two verses. 45 and 46. Oh, it sure is. I see it written in my, out to the side over here. A man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Now that's verse 52 if you want to study that a little bit more yourself. But it says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant seeking goodly pearls. Who, when he had found the one pearl of great price, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought it. We've got to see it as a pearl of great price that cannot be purchased really with money, but with the sacrifice of my own life. Because I have to sacrifice my life. to have that life. And then the second one was the treasure hid in a field. Verse 44, back up one. Kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth the treasure, and for joy goeth, and he sells everything he has, and he buys that field. And what I thought about in this was, he didn't buy it for the land. It's simply that the treasure was in that land, and he had to buy the land. But he was buying the treasure, and he was buying something that was more valuable than all of the money that he had. It took everything in order for him to buy it. So we can possess the riches of the kingdom. And I'm going to use the same terms again. They're precious and priceless. They're of great worth. And in closing, there is a scripture, and we won't turn and read it. But it starts out and it says this: if you want to be perfect, do you want to be perfect? We can only be perfect if we have the Lord and His treasures working in us. Do you want to be a vessel unto honor? The secret is you have to sell all. You have to sell. I put down here, you have to sell out for God. Sell out. You'll have treasures in heaven. And I have a final question. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What will he treasure more than his soul in eternity? Pray for me.